If there was one song that's out that's, that kind of connects to like when we talked about search through heaven, you know, kind of find a Savior, and you hear stuff like that, and then you hear some, when they get to heaven, somebody asks me how I made it, I'll tell them how I made it by the blood. Well, ain't nobody going to ask you how you made it. You're going to know how you made it. And that song right there be the best answer for it all. Amen. It's by God's amazing grace. You may shout on your tippy toes and say, I know how I made it. Amen. But won't nobody be up there saying, I just can't figure out how this works. Amen. It's grace. You'll know more about it when you get there than you do now. But I'm glad I'm on the, as one preacher said, I'm on the big end, a little end of something big. Amen. Amen. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And this is a reference to also just a little advertisement for Wednesday night. We've been doing the 4-to-1 series, and I got my brain stuck on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and I forgot I got to do Titus. Titus is only 3 chapters. And then I got to do 2nd Peter. It's only 3 chapters. So I said, I just have to wait. I was loading up, I was studying, and I had books, and I was like, you better get yourself straightened out. You forgot. So we're going into Titus Wednesday, Lord willing. But anyhow, we're in 1 Thessalonians tonight, and we'll look at several scriptures tonight, Lord helping us. But I want to talk tonight about being thankful, and we need to be reminded of it. And this 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll pick up verse 16. There's just some simple commandments here, and then simple little statements like, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then you got quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. There's some simple little commandments there, but they're not that simple to apply, to produce in your life. But we're going to focus on the one in verse 18, especially tonight. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now you can not know a lot about the will of God, but if you'll grab a hold of that verse right there, you have control over what to do in that verse about giving thanks. Now there's other passages of scripture we're going to go tonight, and I'll share some with you, and some ask you to search, and some that I won't. But I do want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to look at this last days listing of some things that's going to go on in the society around us right before the Lord comes back. We call it the last days. And you can see them everywhere around us. I mean, they are everywhere. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I say, they are here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that has a dual meaning now that we've never seen before. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And everybody saying, preach it. Boy, you get them, preacher. You tell them, preacher. You tell those guilty people, preacher. Disobedient to parents. Uh-oh, now we're meddling. And unthankful. And then unholy, without natural affection. We forget that unthankful is in the midst of unnatural affection with all the homosexual and all the sexual things that are going on in our day around us. False accuser, incontinent, no self-control, people killing each other, shooting each other on the streets. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. But in the midst of those last days' sins, unthankful is in there. And we have a very unthankful generation. They feel entitled. They feel like somebody owes them something. And it is still a problem even for those who are supposed to know better. If you don't watch it in this society, it'll leak into your way of thinking. You will maybe not feel entitled, but you will forget your thankfulness. You'll forget to say it. Now, we can praise the Lord because of all His virtues of who He is, without receiving one thing from Him. Now that's impossible to do because we've received everything from Him. But if I were to hand you $100 tonight and you said thank you, which would be appropriate, amen, to say thank you, you are receiving a gift. You're receiving something from me, so you give thanks for what you have received. But If we look at praising the Lord and worship over just who He is and His holiness and His love and His grace and His mercy and all these different attributes without maybe necessarily receiving some of them, well, then we would just praise Him for along who He is, not what He has done. But it's really inseparable. It's hard to separate the two, amen? I can't thank Him for who He is without thinking about what He's done. It's hard to do that. Because I've been on the end of grace and mercy. I've received long-suffering. I know the love of God. I know He has power and strength. And I know He has given righteousness to me that I did not have on my own account. He imputed it unto me through Jesus Christ. It's inseparable to separate the praise and the thanksgiving apart. But I want to focus on some things tonight with that thought, those commandments that are there, and use some other verses tonight if the Lord help us to do that, and get our minds on being thankful a little bit. I stapled this together. I don't normally staple stuff, and it's driving me crazy. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we need Your help tonight. Pray that You'll enable us to preach, anoint us to preach. Help us, God, to be in the Word and be challenged in our own hearts for it, but Lord, to challenge our people, feed our people, Lord, concerning this thought of being thankful. And Lord, You have been so good to us, God. And I pray that You'll receive that sacrifice of our lips for that. And God, help us, God, to realize that we can never pay You back. We're indebted forever. But God, You've been so good to us. We ought to say something about it. We ought to sing it. We ought to preach it, shout it, tell it. Lord, we ought to tell You. And I pray, God, tonight You'll move us in that matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, first point I want to look at, I kind of wrote down some notes. I had some things typed out, and then I changed them, and so I wrote it down, and I'm going to spread it out. It's in Brioglyphics. I think it's something having to do with my name and how scribbly it is, instead of hieroglyphics. And I got it, but I got it. First thought is I want to look at the fulfillment in giving thanks. It fulfills us. It satisfies us. Something about giving thanks that you know is right. You know it's good to do it. The Bible teaches us in several passages of scriptures about that. I'll give you this one here. And this is Psalms 92, 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It's a good thing to do. It's good to do it unto the Lord. It's good for us in our mental being, our physical being, our spiritual being. If you begin to praise the Lord and give thanks, it'll do something to you. This is scientific, psychological, if you want to call it. But there are things in your brain called endorphins that God put in there, and they stimulate us in different ways emotionally. They can be used for good or bad. You can be stimulated outside with bad things. But praising the Lord is a positive, good thing that will fulfill you spiritually. Psalms 107 said, He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. If you hunger and thirst after God, thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And thinking about the fulfillment that comes along with meditating on the things of God, in Psalms 145:19 says, He fulfills the desire of them that fear Him. If you fear Him, and seek Him, and reverence Him, and care about what He wants out of your life, care about what His Word says, it'll lock you into that inseparable place where you begin to praise Him and thank Him, give Him thanks for what He's done in your life. There's a song by Greater Vision that they sing, and it's for all He's done. And if you haven't never heard it, you ought to hear it. Now, don't put any glass objects around you. You might liable to lose control and knock something over. But it's a very powerful, beautiful song that meditates on all the things the Lord has done. Now, you begin to do that, it'll elevate you and it'll satisfy in your soul. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness, godlikeness with contentment is great gain. To be content in your God and what He has done for you and who He is for you is a beneficial thing. It'll satisfy you and it'll be a blessing to you and it'll strengthen you and it'll be, that takes us to this passage of Scripture. This is in Philippians, if you'll turn with me. In Philippians 4, you've all heard this one before. Philippians 4, verse 4. I'm in the wrong book. There it is. Bifocals are dangerous. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Here we are. See, these simple commands are almost repeated in some way. Let your moderation, which is like gently and levels, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then look at this fulfillment. Look at this thing that satisfies you, that does something for you that liquor cannot do, amen, that drugs cannot do. The Bible said, and the peace, you can't separate it, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A context of this verse, and one of the thoughts of not being careful or anxious, always caring about everything in your life, worrying about it, instead trusting, giving it to God, and when you pray about those things, you do it together, couple it together with thanksgiving. You ever thank God for something that He had not done yet for you? That's a powerful level you're on. If you say, God, I'm going to thank you in advance. This is faith, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to shout on credit like I already got it, even though I haven't received it yet. And that's a whole different level of giving thanks to the Lord. And I believe when you do that, that's that victorious, fulfilled life. You know some saints of God. You've been around them. You may think they're billionaires, but they've learned how to be thankful. And they have a contentment within their soul and in their being, walking for the Lord morning, evening, noon, and night, praying, connecting thanks and praise, all that stuff goes together. Never been around anybody that was thankful to God for what they had instead of complaining about what they don't have, that never was a fulfilled person. Always been around those people and wanted to be more like them, wanted more of what they had, amen? But yet, we go back to these places many times, we get emptied out of these things, find our satisfaction is not there in the world. Try to fill it with something, chasing some dream, chasing something, and not being thankful for what we got. Now, this morning, being just an example, when I got through with the baptism, and I ran down the hall real quick, and I went back in my study, and I had the heat on in there because I knew I was going to be cold. And I got over there near the heat, and I said, praise the Lord for this heat. Amen. It wasn't cold in the water. It was real warm, but it's probably different in temperature. Then I got through, and I got to thinking how good God was to allow us to baptize those seven people this morning. I don't want to take that for granted. I was just thanking the Lord. I didn't need you back there with me to give Him thanks for that. And God help us to be people that have gratitude, be grateful, an attitude of gratefulness. It satisfies, it fulfills us. Because if something that you don't get that you won't stick your thumb in your mouth all the time. Amen. You won't criticize all the time. You'll just be content in the Lord. It's a great gain to just trust God will send me what He wants me to have, when He wants me to have it, because He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. That's a powerful thing. To tap into the thankfulness of God and to thank Him for something that maybe He hasn't even done yet. But we're definitely behind on thanking Him for what He has done. Yes. There's no doubt about it. Then I want to look at not only the fulfillment in giving thanks, but the fruit of giving thanks. Now, this is a little more complex. I got a little crazy here, and I got so many different scriptures, I'm going to have to unbox it. Philippians 4, I want to stay where we are there. As you see that, and I want to look at that thought of that peace. But there's also thoughts of rejoicing that are in verse 4 as well. And I got to thinking about how that giving thanks unto the Lord starts opening up, maybe not every one of them doctrinally, but starts opening up the fruits of the Spirit in your life. The first one's love. You start thanking God and start being thankful unto the Lord, you're going to fall more in love with Him than you did before you started thanking Him for who He is and what He's done for you. I think it's impossible to do that, amen? You ever get in a good service where people are praising and testifying, or a good song that stirs your heart, and you just start thanking God for who He is and what He's done for you? You just start giving thanks to Him. I just don't see how it's possible that you don't fall in love with Him more than you did when you got there, when you arrived. That you don't have the love of God more on your mind then than when you got there. I feel love sometimes when I start thanking Him for all He's done for me. I'm reminded the devil tries to lie to us and tell us that He doesn't love us, that He's forgotten us, that He's putting us through something that's just not right. We shouldn't have to go through this persecution. We shouldn't have to go through this problem or this trial or this testing, that we've been through enough and it's time that God picks on somebody else. Boy, that's how the devil wants to warp your mind. Well, you get to thinking about the goodness and the grace of God. It just makes me love Him more. Makes me fall in love with Him more. Then one of the other fruits of the Spirit is joy. Joy. And it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians when I read that. And here it is, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. To rejoice means to take the joy that's within you and proclaim it. Put it outwardly, amen, forth out of your life. It's impossible, inseparable, to rejoice and nobody know about it, not even yourself. No way, no how. Till I just rejoiced like crazy tonight in church and you were just sleeping. You weren't rejoicing. You might be lying to the preacher, lying to yourself, but when you rejoice, even if all you do is go, glory, if that's all you do, listen, you're going to know it, that joy bubbling up in you is going to flow forward out of you. It's like the alabaster box that was broken, and the aroma, the smell, it filled all the room there when Mary of Bethany broke that alabaster box and anointed the feet of Jesus, and she was just thankful for the grace and the goodness of God, took her hair down, washed His feet with her tears, and boy, there were people criticizing, but the joy could not be contained, and that aroma filled the house, and rejoicing is an aroma that flows forward, a joy that we have as God's people. This world is starving to see the joy of God in the believers, but it's lacking. There's a lot more fear going around these last few years than there is any joy. I've been in some funerals that were some places of joy, that it was it's supernatural. It passes all understanding. Amen. To see God's people rejoice, knowing they had that blessed hope, seeing that loved one again, when others feel like it's over and there's nothing else left. Listen, there's much more left for the saints of God. We all on the little end of something very big. And this is limited life. This is mortality. But we have eternal life and immortality that we are waiting on. So I have, as one person said, I've got reason to rejoice. I got a reason to praise the Lord and be excited and be thankful. And even in the context of that, I'll go one more for you. Love, joy, peace. There's another fruit of the Spirit. And that peace of God that passes all understanding. These four verses are connected together. That peace of God when you're reminded of that storm you're in and you can feel the sea spray on your face, on your forehead, on your brow. You can hear and feel the wind. You can tell the ship is shaking and there's sea in the ship, the water in the ship. Looks like it's sinking, and Jesus puts His foot on the bow and says, "Peace, be still." Man, I prayed that many a times when there was so much junk going on. Sometimes it was a person I was encountering or it was a problem I was encountering. And I said, "God, please speak peace to this." And He did. All He has to do is speak peace, and there's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Boy, that fruit of giving thanks, it brings a peace of mind to me. It as the Scripture says, it passes all understanding. I have peace that passes all the understanding that I can muster up within me. All the understanding that you and I collectively had together. And every smart intellectual person in the world. You can gather all that brain power, computer power together. And the peace of God passes all that understanding. You'll never explain it. And I'll get to heaven if I sing that chorus, and I will if I want to. If I want to say, I know how I made it, amen. That peace of God, when I see that celestial city, and I see Christ on the throne, and I know that it's by His blood that I am there, and He made peace between me and God when there was no other way to have peace. I was a sinner deserving to go to hell, and He broke down that middle wall of partition. He died on the cross. He bridged the gap of glory. He became my mediator, and now I'm at peace with God. Man, you get to thinking of God about stuff like that. That'll do something for you. That'll put some fruit in your basket. Amen. All right. Let me catch up here. I got myself unraveled. Amen. I want to read these verses. I typed some and I scribbled them back over here trying to get my stuff together. Psalms 26, verse 6 and 7. David said, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will compass thine altar. I'm going to compass or compass or surround the altar. He wanted to be there where he could be around the sacrifices. He wanted to be around there where he would bow and pray. He said, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That's why I like being in a testimony service. Now, I don't try to work them up, but I sure don't try to put the fire out. Amen. Somebody wants to testify, so we don't have time for phooey, fiddle. Amen. Any other good Christian bad word I can get away with, amen? That's ridiculous. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the enemy. And so to publish it and speak of it, talk about it. Psalm 95, 2, he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, singing. Making medley, as the scripture says in the New Testament, to come to him with a song or a psalm and have that in our heart and give it back to him. You know, there is no excuse, but we're pretty bad shape church-wide. Church is not complaining about our church, but just church in general. It should be the most peaceful, joy, loving place that there is. It should be a place where there is just thanksgiving abounding, sacrifices of praise coming forth from the lips of his people. And you just think about the books that we hold dear. We've got hymnals around here. We've got four different hymnals that we use. We do.
Yeah.
Now, some of them I think are better than others. But, you know, some of them have all the same songs in them. And just take that. And I know it don't say H-I-M, but it ought to. Amen. But get those songs, and there are collections, and there are psalms, and there are songs, and there are poems, there are thoughts of people that put some things down. Many of them are songs of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And we join together and sing them. And it's a fruit of sacrifice, a fruit of our lips. And what a blessing it is to proclaim those things and sing them. Now, also, when it comes to this, I wanted to think just for a minute here about how when I start thanking God for how good he's been to me and that fruit flows from my heart, my heart just gets tender, it gets touched, it gets overwhelmed, and then I get in a position where I just want to do whatever he wants me to do and whatever he tells me to do, whatever he says for me to do. When you got that spirit leading where it says, quench not the spirit, all this stuff comes together. He may tell you to stand up and testify. Well, you ought to do it. Amen. He may tell you you need to give somebody some money. You ought to do that. Amen. You ought to be a blessing, because some of those fruits and things that stem out of our life, they show forth that spiritual thing that God's doing in our life. Now, think about this. This is 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. He said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. We've been enriched, made rich, made wealthy in everything to all bountifulness. He's sent bounty overflowing in our life, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. God does things to us, makes us want to thank him, and then it also in turn does a little bit more. He said, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, which is the lack of the things that saints don't have, but it is abundant also many thanksgivings unto God. So you begin to think about the goodness of God. You begin to try to give back unto the Lord. Other people get needs met in their life, and then you give the glory that the Lord wants. There's just fruit everywhere. Fulfillment everywhere. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Shall men give unto your bosom. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing." There's just so much in the context of this spiritual life of just being content and satisfied in God, giving thanks unto the Lord, and not wanting to be greedy or store it up, but to share that and just let it flow through our lives and rejoice and just say, "God has blessed me. I'm thankful for what I have. I share it with someone else or reach out to someone else." And it won't be long that you'll be doing this. This is Hebrews 13:15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 15. Now, this is Revelation 4:11. We'll throw Revelation back here in a minute. Revelation 4 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You go from Psalms all the way to the tail end of the book of Revelation, and you're still going to find thanksgiving and people being thankful. Even when John is seeing things in the book of Revelation, you read chapter 5 especially, man, there is just praises and rejoicing, and even the angels, the seraphims that are flying over the throne all day and all night long, they cease not. Right now they're doing it. Right now, while you sleep, they'll be doing it, going, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They just praise him all the time. And when we go to heaven, that celestial shore, you may get there, and that might be the first thing you hear. That probably stir you up pretty good, wouldn't it? Yeah. What's that noise? "Holy, holy, holy, holy." Over and over. And over. I think I want to go. What, that's near the throne. I think I'd like to go over there to that throne. Yes. Hey, somebody over there I think I need to see. Amen. That's where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. Joyfulness, love, joy, peace, all those things, they go together. They accompany salvation. They accompany thankfulness to God. It's part of the fruit of giving thanks. I've never focused on being thankful to God and it ever hurt me or harmed me. And it's never hindered me. I've never met a Christian that was just so crazy and lunatic that gave so much and done so much praising and gave so much back to God that they were just homeless and in some kind of psychiatric ward. Never met one. If they're probably there, they're probably in a better sane state than you and I are. In that song, "The Love of God," I know Brother Donnie's mentioned this before, that song, "The Love of God," there's a one verse in there that the lyrics came from a man in a psychiatric ward in a sane asylum. He scribbled on the wall, and this one, if we could eat with the ocean field, and were the skies of parchment made, every rider on earth, every corn or stalk, it's every stalk on the earth, a quill, and every, what is it, rider, a scribe by trade, to write the love of God would drain the ocean dry. A crazy man supposedly wrote that. God make me that crazy, amen? I'm sure he was in there by himself a few times, they thought, but he was in there with the Holy Spirit. And he wrote that, amen. And there are hymns and things that get our mind on the goodness of God. You can't outgive God. You can't outpraise him. You're never going to run past and embarrass the glory of God. You can brag on me 1 ounce and you've gone too far. Right? You've gone too far. Just say, "Well, you're a good preacher." No, you've gone too far. But you can never exhaust glorifying and giving thanks to God. 24 elders in the book of Revelation symbolizes us as saints of God. And they're going to lay those crowns at his feet. Give him glory and honor and praise and thanks. You better start learning how to be thankful and praising the Lord, because you're going to be doing it a long time in heaven. Amen. Long time that's going to be taking place, going on. I want to have that fruit, as the scripture says, of the lips. That takes it to another level, because some people say, "Well, the Lord knows my heart." Did he know your lips? It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Amen. Right? If you never say anything about how good God is, you've never said thank you back, and you can do it in your prayer closet with nobody else around, but you've got biblical command that there be a sacrifice of praise, giving of thanks coming from your lips, Hebrews 13:15. That fruit is a fruit that keeps on giving. Amen? I never came out of that praise session. Never went down the road thanking Him for the goodness of God. Come out of the parking lot tonight. Come out. I'm tired tonight. At least I was a few minutes ago. I'm not very tired now. I just want to preach. Amen. But I wasn't feeling the hottest, but I feel pretty good right now. I'd probably wear out in a minute. But I'll come up the parking lot and I said, Lord, thank you. We had such a good day. So much to be thankful for. When there are churches closed down, preachers that have quit, they just don't even want to try anymore. People have quit church. People have walked away from their family and just walked away from the things of God. And God blessed us so much. And we had visitors here. I know they were lost, but they heard the gospel. They watched other people. That might I pick on Mitzi, but she got to shouting a little bit back there and startled some kid in front of her. And she said, I think that's the first time she'd done that, as far as I know. I'm not sure if that's the truth, and I'm just picking on her. But I said, well, you know what? Don't apologize to people in front of me. They just need to get used to it, amen?
That's right.
Now, not everybody's the same, but everybody's got lips, so at least I hope you do. And if I'm of the persuasion, if all I had was one, I'd like to praise the Lord with it, amen? I'd like to. My pastor used to say this. He said, I'm going to fight, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to go, and if I lose my teeth, I'm still going to gum the devil to death. We need to be encouraged. We need to give thanks. It's not time to take the gas off, put off the gas pedal. It's time, as old Brother Mays Jackson used to say, to put the hammer down. Amen. We need to get with it. We are behind on the praises of the Lord. And I want to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and I'll be done. I want to look at the faithfulness of giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything. That's hard to be faithful over. But when you give thanks in everything, that's real. That's faithfulness. When you're rubbing that pain, you're wiping those tears. You stand there with broken pieces in your hands. And you got a lot more questions than you do answers. And you just say, Lord, I want to praise you. I'm just going to give you thanks in everything, every circumstance, every situation, in this painful, hurtful moment right now. I'm just going to praise you. Now the devil's, at that point, going to realize he's lost. That he didn't win. That you won the victory. Now you may not feel it immediately, but help's on the way. That power of Christ is about to abide upon you because you are rather glorying in the Lord in your infirmities. And that power of Christ is going to get ready to rest upon you. And there's no room in that little tent, as we talked about the other day. There's no room for the devil in there. Amen. He's not allowed to be in there with you and the Lord in that tent when he rests upon you. And you start giving thanks for everything. So, preacher, I lost my job. If you can find a way to give thanks for that, something special is going to happen. I'm not some promotional, claim it, name it, preacher. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the power of God. If you praise the Lord in the midst of your situation and your problem, you are fulfilling a scripture where the Bible says, as I read a while ago, he said, this is the will of God. Verse 18. That's the will of God. You can say, Lord, I probably have missed the will of God in a lot of places in my life. But right here and right now, I'm going to thank you for this anxiety. I'm going to thank you for this depression. I'm going to thank you for this person in the hospital. I'm going to thank you that I'm in the hospital. I'm going to thank you where I am right now. And I'm going to give you glory and praise as if it's the last words that come off my lips. Well, that'd be a powerful way to be faithful in giving thanks to the Lord. What a personal connection here. Not only powerful, but personal. Look, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's talking to you. How can you do that? I can look around here. I know y'all all look at each other. Y'all think everybody's got it made. We all got, all of us are millionaires. When nobody got no problem. Nobody got no stress. There's no physical, spiritual, financial problems of any kind. You know, at East Georgia Road, we just, it's perfect. That's not true. And I'm not going to share all my problems with you, but we all got them. All of us got them. And I can go around here and start naming things. I mean, we can start with Sister Becky. She just lost her husband. And you can go around here and name infirmity and problem and situation, current, past, some ongoing, some will not seem to move. What are you going to do about that? Well, in the will of God concerning you, the Bible says, give thanks. That'll get you through it. You'll wake up the next day, you'll have some victory in your soul. There's people here right now. I know some of your problems. I know a lot of our church family knows a lot of each other's problems. There's some of you that you've done that. You've thanked the Lord in the midst of all that pain. And if you'll be honest, that was some of the sweetest time you've ever spent with the Lord. His presence probably became more real than any other point in your life when you gave thanks in the midst of everything. That's a blank check, isn't it? Everything. And we got to think, well, give thanks for that raise I got. Give thanks for this good benefit, this blessing, this addition. But we're to give thanks for the losses. And we're to give thanks for the afflictions and the suffering as well. And when we do, we fulfill the will of God. And there's just something about that rises to the top of this world. There's no hypocrisy in giving thanks in the midst of the worst thing. Easy to give it in the best thing. But the Bible says in everything. Sister Becky, I want you to come, please. Play something for us softly.